T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresham Fourier on WEEI.
Final hour, Gresham Fourier. Get us on Twitter, Gresham Fourier, WEEI. And if you already haven't, what is wrong with you? Seriously. Like, honestly. You don't follow us on Twitter? What is wrong with you?
I mean, I am just so good at tweeting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't take me a lot of time at all.
It took you a lot of time to formulate how to say it. Doesn't take you a lot of time at all.
It's just
you're great.
I'm a video guy.
Tagging and
I'm a video guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, your thing. Instagram just full of videos.
Just nothing but just hijinks.
Yeah. Completely full of videos. That is Fourier. You can get us on Instagram, Gresh and Fourier. Spell the A and D in between our last names. You want to get me on like Twitter or Insta or the TikTok at The Real Gresh. Got it all on Twitter. It's Christian Fourier, and on Instagram, don't bother. is that fair?
It's private.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's right. It's private. So NFL season win totals are out. Came out a couple days ago. So I don't know if we have had real heavy movement yet. When it comes to this particular betting market. Now, some of these numbers are pretty interesting, I think, for you.
Okay, which one are you looking at?
I brought up a thing on thelines.com,
okay,
which allows me to look at BetRivers, BetMGM, and FanDuel,
okay,
numbers. So I've got three right here, and they're all very, very similar. I think in the opening markets, you will find uniformity with a lot of books until they start to take bigger bets liability. And the other thing, too, about these kind of wagers, Fourier, is they're probably going to have some level of bet limit attached to them. You know, you couldn't go in and bet a million on the over unless you were a preferred bettor or something like that. So normally for some of these, especially early on, you have some betting limits in there. So anyway, the Chiefs over under 11.5. How about this? Not holding you to it. This is not a competition.
Okay.
Just want to be very, very clear about
that. Totally fine.
This is just instant reaction because we really need to do this after the draft to have sort of the complete outlook of what a football team would look like. But if I say to you, Chiefs, over under 11.5, where
over.
Are you at? 49ers, 11.5.
Over.
Ravens, 11.5.
Over.
Bills, 10.5.
Over.
Bengals, 10.5.
Who? over. Joe Burrow's back, baby.
There's got to be some unders
every
in here.
Every team is going to win over 10 games
this
year.
We got to go. With, so,
do you think Joe Burrow, we'll see. So the Bengals, 10.5.
10.5. Lions, 10.5.
Okay, so now you've shamed me. Under.
Well, I don't want to shame you.
I mean, over.
Okay.
With your talk, wait, hold on. But for the record, you are talking about, well, you're obviously talking about
season
the
win
best
total.
Teams.
Yeah.
The best, you're starting with the best teams.
Yeah, yeah.
All playoff teams, Super Bowl winning teams.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here, how about I go to Falcons, 9.5.
Under.
Texans, 9.5. They won 10 last year.
Under. This will be when C.J. Stroud has a rough year, and everyone's going to expect them to go 11 and they'll realize how hard it was the first time and how much harder it's always going to be.
Let me give you Jets 9.5.
Ooh, good one. Okay. Wow. Is it going to work out with them?
No, it's not, dude. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, they have They have a boob for a coach, and he got a reprieve because Rodgers got hurt.
So that was at 9.5, you said, right?
9.5 for the Jets.
I mean, if they can't win 10 games, then I have to go over.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you see that? Because 9.5, you're out of the under is out of the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to make the playoffs. You got to be at 10 to be able to get in. Something tells me that the Jets are going to be the team that has the 12-5 record, and they're like the number two seed in the AFC.
But even with that, it's
and they beat people along the way during the regular season, but losing the first.
Yeah.
Round.
Okay.
They're the kind of team that will overachieve in the regular season, and then when it comes time,
but usually when a team like that overachieves, you kind of look at them having a soft schedule. Quarterback is hurt. Backup quarterback plays. Coach just got fired, or you're playing against a rookie first-time head coach. You don't have any of those situations in the AFC East other than New England. First-time head coach, rookie quarterback. Usually, that my whole outlook when Bill was here and the Patriots were good, anytime Bill played against a first-year head coach or a first-year quarterback or a combination or both, it was always a win for the Patriots.
Let me look and see if I can, because obviously the schedules aren't out, but the opponents are. Here's who the Jets get. Away, Buffalo, Miami, New England, Arizona, Jacksonville, the Niners, Tennessee, Steelers, and Vikings. Those are the road games. Home games outside the division, Texans, Colts, Rams, Seahawks, Broncos.
So they play the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
And was it the AFC South?
Yep. And they get Denver thrown in there. They get the Colts thrown in there.
Isn't it funny though? Like every single. I gotta stop saying back when they were good, because it's just not coming back for a while. You would look at every one of those games, and each team would signify a certain player, a certain rivalry that existed one way or another, either in the past or currently. And you would just sit there and look at it and be like, okay, win. Like, under any circumstances, it was like a win. And in the end, they'd end up with, 12 or 13 wins.
Which is wild.
Because real quickly, because even when I look at that, I found this thing on Bet Online. And it says highest preseason win total since 2009, and this is nuts. Some of the win totals for the Patriots are insane.
And by the way, in a 16-game season.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. It's nuts. 2009, 11.5. It doesn't have what they ended, but I would say most every one of those playoff teams from 2009 on, it was at least 12 wins. Let me see. 2011, 11.5. 2012, 12. 2013, 11.5, 2016, 10.5. And then they get in a quick run where it's 12.5, 11, 11. They had one where, yeah. So 1 year in 2017, their preseason win total was 12.5, highest out of all the years. It's insane.
No, it's wild.
It's crazy.
And the top teams this year are all, at least right now,
what was Kansas City?
At 11.5. Kansas City was 11.5. But remember, it's a 17-game season. That's also a big sort of level.
Yeah, one more to win or lose.
Yeah, big level of variance. So as I scroll to the bottom of the page, this is where you get a little variance, okay? So I'm looking at FanDuel, BetMGM, and BetRivers. So for the Patriots, FanDuel and BetMGM have the Patriots at 5.5. BetRivers has set the line at 4.5. Now the difference is, if you were to go under 5.5 on those books that have it higher, it's -140. So you're laying 140 to win 100 to go under the 5.5. On the under 4.5 at BetRivers, it's +137. So basically, if you think the Patriots are going to have another four-win season, you have the value there at Bet Rivers. If you want a little more room, you could pay a little more juice and go under the 5.5. 4.5, where are you at?
For Patriots?
Yeah.
Under.
Oh, so 5.5, you're definitely under that.
Yeah. How does it get better?
Well, they're collaborative, and there's no silos.
Silos are down, that's right.
And they're all cooperating. Oh, no, collaborating.
But on the other hand,
what is the floor?
What is the floor? They're starting a rookie quarterback. What did Kraft say? They have 20 new coaches?
Yeah. Well, they have a modern coaching staff now, so everything should be better.
I don't know.
Exactly. The Patriots are at the bottom of these over-unders, team totals, along with the Panthers and the Broncos. Now, the difference is that the Panthers, there's only one book, I think it's FanDuel, who are going 5.5 on the Panthers. The other two are at 4.5. And those are the, as of right now, judging and looking at thelines.com, there are only two teams on the board who have an over-under of 4.5, and that is New England and Carolina.
Yeah, and the thing that makes you sad is I go back to last year, and they'll have the biggest drop-off from year to year, and then they have the biggest jump from year to year. And you go biggest jump, you look at teams like Houston with C.J. Stroud and, you know, Atlanta, Baltimore and Green Bay, or really Houston and Atlanta. Houston +4, and, you know, preseason last year, their line was set at 5.5. Atlanta was around the same. And it goes biggest drop-off year to year. Carolina, -3. Denver, -3. New England, -3. And when I think about it,
I was
hardcore.
Yeah, on the over.
And I remember saying, do you really think that a Bill Belichick-led team is going to lose 9 games?
Nah, it was worse than that.
I forget about how many they're going to win. You think he's going to lose 9? Lose 8 games? No way. It was said it with such confidence. Just not even thinking twice about it. Bet it. Let it ride. Oh, my Lord. I can't imagine it getting better just because the silos are down and everybody's – does it look like they're on the right page? Based on the way of the press conference, does it look like they're collaborating, but they're doing it in secret? It's like a game of telephone. By the time he gets to Kraft, he's saying something totally different.
No, you're right. It's definitely, it doesn't appear to be that, everybody's close to saying the same thing. But then they sort of add their little accoutrements to it, and it's like, oh, really? So you want to let the team make the pick, but you want to tell them, oh, I'd love to get a top-flight quarterback. By the way, on the Raiders, over-under, 6.5. Man, that's another one. Saints are at 7.5. Feels like they're at the 7.5 every year. Anyway, you can check that out on your local wagering app, wherever you get down when it comes to betting. It is the Red Sox season opener tonight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. The visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah, a couple different things to hit on here. Number one, talk about looking outside the box. The Kansas City Chiefs are signing rugby star Luis Rees-Zammit. And I'm looking at some of the highlights of this moose. And, oh, hang on, Nick, can you put Christian back in? Thanks,
there
buddy.
There we go.
Put it in, Nick. Yeah, what do you make of this Luis Rees-Zammit? They show him like running routes and trying to catch the ball or something like that. He's kind of they got him running like return routes.
He looks like Chris Hogan before he really kind of figured it out.
Oh, you know what? That's interesting. The dude's an athlete though. I mean, he can
I was watching his rugby highlights and I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether I should be impressed or not. One time he kicked the – is it called a football or a rugby ball? What do you call it?
I think it's called the rugby ball.
It's called the rugby ball. So he was running with the ball, dropped it, kicked it maybe 30 yards ahead of him, and then chased it because he could run fast without it. And it
a rugby ball is called a footy.
It's called a footy. Oh, okay. Oh. So he kicked the footy.
I thought that was communist football.
That's a footy. Weird. Yeah. No, but he
this cat is 6'3" and 200 pounds, and he's only 23 years old. That's the crazy thing.
He is a project, you absolutely.
Know, so is this the athletic version of Steve Neal?
I mean, how long are you willing to wait? Do they have a receivers coach that is a Dante Scarnecchia?
With the Chiefs? Well, they got a quarterback who can kind of guide him through some stuff, you know? I love it, though.
I mean, it is kind of cool. Like, I mean, you think about it, why aren't more of those players transitioning into the NFL?
And someone said, didn't the Patriots have a rugby guy, LOL? Yeah, it's Nate Ebner.
Yeah.
So nothing more than a special teams guy.
Yeah, at least he was. This guy looks like he's got, I guess, a little bit more skill to him.
This dude looks like he can run.
Well, and he's supposed to be an offensive weapon.
Yeah, he's like 6'3", 200 pounds. I mean, there's good size right there.
Listen, I'm down for it.
Well, I don't know if they're going to line. I don't think they'd line him up as a tight end. It looked like they were giving him a number 14 guy. To kind of run around.
He's a slot guy. Do a little quick return route.
Let me ask you this. Is this maybe someone you try to teach how to play like Kelsey?
Oh, man. I don't think you teach people to play like Kelsey. I think you just naturally feel it or you don't. I don't think this is a technique that you can learn. That is
no, but reps. Can the quarterback along with Kelsey sort of show this guy how they connect a little bit and then try to go down that road with him? I'm just thinking out loud.
Listen, he's got a great chance because the quarterback is just going to feed him. There's going to be so many open spots, and I am curious to know how fast he runs. Like, what's so special about him?
I don't know. It's a good question. I did a cursory Google search and I like found, you know, the basics, but I didn't see that, you know, the guy had like a blazing 4.35 40 or something crazy.
What makes
him
so different? There has been some other rugby players that I've seen and they are just, oh, get out of the way.
I know. That's what I kind of thought with this guy, that it was going to be like Patrick Ricard, you know, the fullback for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Where it's like
he's 300 pounds
and he's lining up in the backfield, getting a full head speed type thing.
Especially with the new kickoff rules, too. You're like, oh, okay, new kickoff return rules. Maybe I get this guy out there and just have him get ahead of steam and just run people over.
I think E from Brockton mentions that NFL international player pathway, which I think the Patriots were manipulating the roster with Belichick. They don't do that anymore because now it's modern and new people.
Yeah.
But I think Jakob Johnson ended up on the roster basically like for free because of that NFL international pathway or something like that.
Well,
or at least
smart.
The spot to be able to keep him. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try to go take – look, if there's some, you know, hot shot who plays another sport and they're from another country and they're like, I'd love to give this a try, Why wouldn't you? I mean, there have been – you go all the way back to Willie Gault with the freaking Bears. You know, they turned that guy from a track dude into a wide receiver. Cripes, Brock Lesnar almost made the Vikings. Never having played a snap of football in his life because the guy's just an animal.
Well, who was the Patriots sprinter? Demps?
Jeff Florida. Jeff Demps, yeah.
Yeah, he, but he was a football – he played football,
he
did, though.
Yeah, he played football, but he was a track guy. But this this would be someone sort of – like, unbeknownst, never heard of.
So this guy was at the NFL's International Player Pathway Pro Day.
Got it.
So, and he ran a 4.43 40.
A what again?
A 4.43 40.
Wow, that's pretty
good. Any other players of note, or is that, but see, is that what stood out?
Where's the Polynesian combine to where we can find some linemen or Dean linemen or whatever? What's going on here?
I'm telling you, those you watch those.
Teams also receive one training camp roster exemption for the international players.
There you go.
Man, think about it. If you can find one of those guys and he's actually a contributor, you get the extra roster spot for free.
That's why Jakob Johnson was here so long.
What a steal. And he was good, too, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have anybody on their roster right now, right?
Well, I don't think so. But, yeah, I want to go to the Polynesian camp. I want to find me like a 6'8", 390-pound guy who can run but doesn't know how to eat.
Okay, so you watch him on TV. Watch, he kicks it. And then the other guy chases it down. So
that's the guy.
Oh, that's the guy. Yeah,
who dives into the end zone for the score. Yeah.
I don't get the rules of rugby at all.
It looks like you can elevate these international player guys three times throughout the season when they're on the practice squad. So that's pretty normal for the practice squad now. I feel like
I was gonna say, and you know what'll happen is the Chiefs will like elevate this guy, and it'll be, you know, 6 for 75 yards and a score, and people are like, oh my God, look at what they're doing. Because again, that's a mature program. The coaching staff knows how to handle it. The GM knows how to handle it. There's systems in place. You know, Kansas City is at where New England was in, it's 2017, 2018, where you could do this kind of stuff and put them in the incubator and then bust them out when you
need
them.
What do they call them? Just a just an offensive weapon or just a football player? Or like
Him an offensive weapon.
Or calling him, so that's his position.
He's an
wide
OW.
Receiver slash running back.
He's
Laviska Shenault.
OW.
They try to turn him into.
He's an OW.
Yeah.
Where's the OW room?
Didn't they try to do that, I thought, with Cordell Stewart, and the NFL wouldn't allow them to call him an offensive weapon because it wasn't a recognized position. And I think somehow, like, either the transition tag or the franchise tag came into it or something
like
that.
So it wasn't it just QB wide receiver? That's why they called him Slash.
Right. And they couldn't do, like, OW. So I think they listed him as a wide receiver at first because it was like, well, if this guy's good, let's hold the money down, of course. You know, every team
does
that.
That's true.
Michael Penix, an unofficial 40-yard dash today. And then I have a question about it.
Let me guess.
What do you think he ran?
Michael Penix, quarterback Washington. I'm going to go 4.48.
Close. 4.46 unofficial.
4.46?
Yeah.
4.46
for
Penix.
I'm not even
near it. Close.
You said 4.48.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I
meant 4.8.
Oh.
I said it wrong.
I was going to say, like, am I on crank or something that I misheard that or what?
4.46?
4.46.
Man, that's going to range with a 4.46 to 4.56, depends on whose stopwatch.
He was, but he's blazing, though. Now,
he had a 36.5 vertical.
I want to go back to, oh my God, did you see that, like, D2 players, like 5'9", like a 44-inch vert?
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, oh, he's a prospect. He jumps high.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, what are we doing here? This is like T.O. Oh, I could still run a 4.440. Yeah, it's a straight line. You're 50 years old. Try to cut. Your knees will buckle. Did Gerard Mayo, am I nuts? But I thought Gerard Mayo earlier this week at the owners' meetings mentioned that he thought there were 5 guys at quarterback that he thought really could play,
okay,
or that in his mind there were 5 QBs in the draft. And Nick's trying to find the audio, because if he did say there are 5, we know there are 3 at the top,
mm-hmm,
and then there's J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. But if I don't know if you found
somebody
it,
asked him who the 5th was, and he didn't want to say.
Oh,
ooh.
So
now they decided not to say anything.
So there are a lot of people are smarting on six of these quarterbacks being drafted within the first two or three rounds, right? But according to Mayo, there's only five that they really like. So who's the odd man out? My guess is it's between Bo Nix and the aforementioned Michael Penix.
Yeah, because JJ is he's in with the he's the top four now. He's in with the top three group, right?
And he's got Harbaugh pumping him up. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's into the top ten type of guy. Wow. Personally, I would have said Bo Nix. Personally, I would have said Bo Nix.
That he would have been the one that was out.
No, he would have been in.
So the Penix would have been out.
Yeah, and we're splitting hairs, though, to a degree.
I kind of feel the same way, and I know that you and I have talked about this privately. I think there is a stigma with the left-handed quarterback. I really do. Now, maybe I'm nuts. I know you have poo-pooed and said it just spins different.
I still don't like it.
Right. No, you don't like it, but it is not as big a hindrance or an impediment as I potentially see.
Yeah, and I also think offensive coordinators are left-handed quarterbacks.
They're lefty-averse.
Yes, they are. I don't think they like it. I think there's something they just – I don't think they get it. It's funny because I heard Steve Young talking about this, how he found that coordinators have an issue with lefties. They don't like teaching lefties. They don't it's hard for them to relate to lefties. It just flipped everything around.
It feels like the only ones who really made it are the guys that really truly could play, like Mark Brunell made it. You know what I mean? Like guys, Tua looks like he's gonna make it. You know, guys like that. Nick found that quarterback thing from Mayo.
Oh, look, let me tell you, when I first started watching these guys, it was that 3-man race, and now as you continue to go to these pro days and bringing guys in on the 30 visits and having time to spend with those guys to really get to know what makes them tick. I mean, it's about five guys, honestly, that could come in and be a solid quarterback in the future.
Five guys. And he wouldn't say who the fifth guy was.
That screams that I just think that Penix would be out. Plus, here's the other thing, too. The guy's a hell of an ass. He's running a 4.46.
It's funny because all people are doing is looking at his age and, oh, look at all the knee surgeries he's had. And, he has no mobility.
He has a big.
But he's a pocket passer. He really was a pocket passer with a deep ball ability of like a young Russell Wilson. That's what when I think about him, I go, man, the long ball on this kid is pretty impressive. Did it a lot, and there wasn't a lot of designed RPOs, wasn't a lot of designed runs, and he didn't scramble a lot.
Mm-hmm. But when he had to, he could.
I know, but it was just, okay, he wasn't in that Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, because I think Drake May gets more credit for running than Michael Penix does. When you think Michael Penix, I haven't seen one scout talking about his running ability.
Yeah, I think with Drake May, there was a lot of he had to run around to kind of save himself a little bit. Like, he didn't have the best offensive line in front of him. And when you look at the ACC, still pretty good top to bottom. It's not like North Carolina played a bunch of also-rans. And, to give Penix credit, the Pac-12 was way, way up this year. Way up this year. Pac-12 was better than anybody would have thought in their final year of existence. So Penix did play against a big level of competition. But I got to think, if you're going to rule one of those guys out, Penix is the guy with the injuries that is really – that's the one where you're like, okay.
It is funny, though, that a lot of these teams are – I don't know why age would be such an issue. And we're not talking about Brandon Weeden where the guy's like 28 years old. We're talking about 23, 24 years old, fifth-year seniors. Jaden Daniels is a fifth-year senior. Like, since when is that old? Like, most guys played 4 or 5 years. You hope they stay – the rare guys come out after 3 years. Most guys need at least 4.
Well, I think we're now finally clear of some of the COVID year.
You got
that
two more
got
years
wedged in there. No, I know there are some, but there are some guys who have eligibility, but they've been around for 5 years, and they're like, okay, let me take my chance at the next level, and then move on. You're right. There still technically is 2 more years,
two more
for
seasons.
Some of them.
Two more, but and then the COVID kid. Because my son's the.
Is he in the last
the
group?
He is in the last group. So he started. He was the first year COVID kids, and then after that, 2020, they just stopped doing it.
Well, and I also think some schools are kind of making the choice with some of the real older players that, if you're just if you're heading into your sixth year and you're a swing tackle backup, right? Then maybe they keep you around. But otherwise, there is the kind of, hey, maybe you should go play your last year someone else type thing if you're really not factored
in. Oh, they tell you to say, hey, listen, just so you know, you're never going to play.
They're never that honest.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they are. They have to be honest because they want them to leave on their own. Okay, so what'd you tell him? I told him he would never see the field under any circumstances.
Sorry, I was in another direction there. But, yes, that completely makes sense. The whole, yeah, we're going to find a way to kind of shove you, nudge you out the door.
Some guys are like, I'm good. I want a Stanford education. I want a BC diploma.
Yep.
I want not going anywhere.
I want my master's. Let me get it now while trying to contribute and be young and wild and free and all that. The Red Sox are going to get after it tonight in game one of the regular season. It is a 9:10 pregame here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Keith will walk you through that. And then it is game one of the Red Sox against the Mariners. You got Brian Baio on the mound.
Baio Day.
What is the number that the number of games the Red Sox win this season? Where are you at on that?
Okay, so they won. It's definitely over 78.
All right, it was 70. They ended up with 78 last year.
78 last year. So, I mean,
seven
plus eight last year. So I'm going to say, did you say 85?
No.
I feel a lot. I hear a lot of people.
Tuck yourself into 90.
I feel like a lot of people are saying 80. I think I heard Bradford say 80.
Well, 81 and 81 would be 500.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 85.
I'm going to go. Wow.
Seven games more than last year.
Hold on.
Seven games more than last year.
MLB.com.
Seven games more than last year.
They would have missed the playoffs by four games last year with 85.
Is that what it is?
That's Blue Jays were last with 89.
That's literally.
They won 78. Because I think they've. Look at the way they ended last year. It was horrible the way they ended the season last year. When you look at the month of.
Month of September.
September, they were 8-19, Gresh.
Yeah, August and September really ended up tanking them. I'm on 75. I think they got to slide back a little bit.
Well, I'm way too optimistic.
Yankees are better. Orioles are better.
Everybody's better.
I mean, the Twins won the division with 87, so we know that Central is a little light, but there can end up being four teams in the AL East that win 85 or more, with three of them winning 90 or more.
So do you think they'll be a better team, technically a better team, but just a worse record because the rest of the division is better than they were last year?
No, I think what will happen is people will look at really the young players. I almost think the record doesn't matter. As long as the young players step forward, that's what we're being sold on now, right? Is that now not the thing that most people are going to focus on? I want to see Rafaela, Grissom, young pitchers. I want to see those guys step up and have a good year. If that is what I've been led to believe is the hook and the way that this team would then start to generate spending again, is if the young guys show, for me, that's what I'm rooting for.
What does Vegas say? Did you say that already?
What do you mean?
What is their win total?
Because 77 and a half.
Really?
Depending on where you look, 77 and a half or 78 and a half.
I was going to say it's probably in that neighborhood there.
Oh, I would definitely do the over. They had 78 wins last year.
And
it was horrible.
After week one, you're like, I regret this.
It was horrible. The end of the season, 8-19. What was it? Oh, they were great in July, 15-8.
I jumped on Sportsbook Rhode Island, and the under of 77 is minus 120. The over of 77 is even money plus 100. So there you are. So you're way over for
you. I'm tell you what, I've been drinking.
Now
that
you're going to, I was just going
to
say.
I was bitching to you about what happened to you. Somebody got to you because you're all happy about it. Like, what's a winning season? What's success mean to you?
75 and the young guys step forward. I'll take it at this point.
And I said playoffs.
And then I hope that the owner would then look at it and decide to spend. Are you Dunsky? Brings it home next.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI. Now, it's time for...
Are you done? Are you done?
Are you done?
Are you done? You done, right? You done, right? Are you done? Are you done?
On Gresh and Fourier.
Tom Curran joins Jones and Mego at 3:30. We got a big one tomorrow.
We do.
Our buddy Sleepy Andrew Raycroft at 11:25 and Louis Marloni, 9 a.m. West Coast time. Do we need to throw Lou a bone and push him back the one?
No, he's up. He was on this morning at 6:30 a.m.
Well, I know, but we would be good brothers and not ask
so
him
you to
come
push
on
him
that early. No, I'm doing is asking.
What time is he on again? See, he's on at 12, so if you do one, it's an extra hour.
Because, I mean, it's opening night.
I would like to hear groggy and a little irritated.
Oh, okay.
Personally, I feel like that would
be
good
then.
Stuff.
I'm following you on that. Yeah. Noon, Lou, tomorrow, cranky. There we go.
Cranky Lou.
That's pretty much exactly what we're looking for. Of course, the Celtics are going to be in action tonight as well. We got NCAA tournament games being played in our backyard. And I got to ask Grazer about how sleepy he was on last night's post game. It was something. It really was.
He's like, I'm done. He should have said, I'm sorry,
I'm done. Oh, here we go again. Billy Lanny, are you done?
I am not. Have either of you or any of you known somebody or rescued an animal off the side of the road?
Does picking up a deer after you hit it to...
No. Something that was...
I don't think that counts.
Something that was still alive that might have
been breathing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Something alive.
Then I'm a no.
All right.
So yeah, I'm a no too.
Not that I don't want to, though.
I love dogs and
kitties. I love animals and all that stuff.
Yeah. So there was this lady in England who rescued what she believed was to be an abandoned baby hedgehog off the side of the road.
Okay. Oh.
She gathers it up. Wraps it up, brings it home, tries to feed it, gives it some water, nothing happens. So she wasn't sure what to do with it. It didn't drink the water, didn't eat, I think she gave it cat food, didn't eat any of that. And then the next day, it didn't come out of its little shell, I don't know what you call that with a hedgehog.
Yeah.
So the next day she brings it to a veterinarian. Turns out it was a pom-pom from a hat. So, the poof ball
Stop
on top of
it.
A winter hat.
Come on, I would like to see, is this, are we talking about somebody like.
This is the same website I get the world records from.
Oh, my Lord.
In the zoo training videos.
I wonder.
So I don't know. Hey, these look like real articles. It could be a satirical website. I don't know.
Okay.
But this lady rescued what she was believed to be a baby hedgehog, turned out to be the pom-pom on the top of a hat.
Good I actually, Lord. You know what? I can actually believe that because. You just want to do well. You're just like, I don't really know what it looks like in the wild. No. I've never been to a zoo before. I've never actually seen a hedgehog. I've seen cartoons. Maybe it's in need.
Yep, the lady was called a kind soul for rescued what she thought was a very shy baby hedgehog.
I love it. I love, how did you start off like an abandoned hedgehog?
Yeah, an abandoned baby hedgehog.
Yeah. She just assumed the mother left the hedgehog. The mother abandoned the baby. I need to come to it. Well, probably doesn't have any kids. Never had any kids, so doesn't have any pets.
We're the worst.
Or maybe doesn't have a TV.
I mean, her heart was in the right place.
Yeah, she was an older lady, maybe 60s or 70s, well-spoken and well-meaning.
Well-meaning.
She said
meant
she could
well.
See something on the side of the road that looked like a hedgehog. From a distance, you take it at face value. She didn't handle it at all. She scooped it up in a box. Cat food, left it alone in a warm dock place.
See, that makes more sense. So she didn't physically go up to it. She probably just threw a box on it and then just kind of threw some food in there. And it's like, wow, it's still in a little ball. She probably take it in the box to the vet. And the vet was like, are you serious?
I'm looking at a picture of this. I don't know how she mistaked this with a hedgehog.
Maybe she's a little off.
Maybe she's a wackadoo.
What are you trying to say? Like, she's a do-gooder.
She's a little bit older.
She's well-meaning.
She's well-meaning, and it was an
abort. I don't know how she just confused this with a hedgehog.
Honest mistake. Wet hedgehog on the side of the road. We're stopping.
I don't know how you even noticed it.
Yeah, I kind
of agree. Drive right by it.
And a hedgehog of all things, or to think it's a hedgehog.
Yeah,
like,
what? How many hedgehogs have you seen? I mean, I would think like an armadillo. Something that rolls up in a ball. Do hedgehogs? Well, I don't know. Armadillos, I guess, are a Texas thing. I don't know. Southwest thing. I don't know.
Could have went on vacation.
Do they have a lot of armadillos in California?
Do hedgehogs roll up into a ball like an armadillo?
I don't think so.
Right?
No, but they do, like, they roll into a ball. Like, I don't think they roll. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of animals can almost, like, you know, they curl, tuck themselves into a ball.
Yeah, like, tuck into a ball.
Yeah, like cats do that. A little cat package. They tuck their paws in and they
tuck their package.
No, they tuck their paws in is a cat package.
Oh,
and then
a
their
cat
tail,
package.
They wrap their tail right up against their body. Oh, okay. It's like they're sitting there and, yeah.
Okay.
It's a lump of fluff.
Just a lump. Well, you know what? She learned her lesson.
Yeah.
There we go.
No good deed.
There it is. And that is it for us. We are done. Chicken Nick and Billy Landy produced it. If something went wrong, blame them. Same for Coop on the video side. We will talk to Razor and Lou tomorrow. Jones and Mego are next.
Thank you for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.